you ask us to watch that episode of Drive to Survive?
That was just an extremely dramatic one. Did you watch it, Bailey?
Twice.
Oh, twice.
Wow. I watched it once and thought, I need to pay more attention because you asked us to watch it. So I watched it again yesterday.
That guy, you feel sorry for him until you watch the rest of the series and you figure out he's crashing all the fuck everywhere, you know? And it's like, that's all he does is crash.
The guy on fire or Perez? Okay.
No, the guy on fire.
Yeah. Well, it was just the safety innovations in the past 20 years have been amazing. People died all the time.
Yeah.
40, 50 years ago, a Grand Prix, a Formula One season, three or four people would die every year.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, believe it.
And then starting around the 90s, corporations don't like to sponsor events where people die.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Seriously.
It looks bad for our brand.
And so they really started working on safety, and now it's incredible. But that guy, not only the fire, he punched through a guardrail.
What did they say, 160 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said that was the least of it.
It was, I forget the G-forces. They have sensors in the cars that measure how big an impact. It was.
Oh, you think he said it was, because he did say in his interview how much it was. Like how many tons? It was 6 tons or something.
And he survived that and then the fire. So it was just the most dramatic Drive to Survive episode. So the point of that is that Formula One has become, a lot of people complain that it's so sanitized, that they've made the track so safe and the cars so safe. But motorsports is a thing where every so often stuff happens that nobody ever imagined could happen.
And don't you think people watch those races waiting for that moment?
Well,
they go to those races.
Well, that's it. Not anymore, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to take forever to happen.
People watch NASCAR for crashes, but there again, nobody gets hurt anymore. And as soon as I say that, someone will die next weekend.
Whoops!
It's really a different sport now.
What's the format? How many laps is it? How long is it at Formula One?
It's about 2 hours.
Usually about 2 hours.
Okay. Because of Drive to Survive, I have numbers here somewhere.
Of course you do.
it went from, I mean, it's really a nowhere sport in America. It's like soccer. In the first year, there was a 29% increase in ratings. Mm-hmm. And it went up from there. There didn't used to be any American Formula One races. Or there was only one for many years, and before that there was none for a while. Miami was added last year, and they're adding Las Vegas next year, so there's three.
Yeah.
So we're the only country with three races.
Yeah, Miami, Las Vegas, and what's the other one?
Is there one in California?
Austin.
In Austin.
Austin is the third.
In September they're doing the Strip in Las Vegas. They're going to drive right down the Strip.
That'd be cool to see.
They're offering like package for two for $150,000 and stuff like that. Regular people can't go. That's a different story. Formula One has priced itself out of.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I made the mistake of continuing to watch it after the first episode. So I went through seasons 3 through 5. And season 5, I was like, this is so fucking manufactured, you know?
Right.
So I went back and I started from season 1 because they, you know, when I read about it, they, you know, the writers would say, like, season 1 is really the best, you know, season 1 and 2 that has more of a reflection. But I've been meaning to look up, is Formula One underwriting the Netflix thing? Because it's very, very obvious that they are so bought into it because they want to break into the American market.
Right.
And now there's that movie with Brad Pitt. And the thing is, Brad Pitt, what's so funny, they had a New York Times article about it. Brad Pitt, he's like 59 years old, and in the movie, he's going to play a racer.
Right.
And like Lewis Hamilton is like the advisor on it or something. And he says, well, you know, in the scheme of it, it's going to make sense. I'm like, how the fuck is that going to make sense? You know?
Right. Hamilton said he looks really good playing. You can play younger.
I'm sure.
But 30 years younger?
Yeah.
20 years younger?
Right. Yeah. I know. Here's the other thing, though, about F1. Like, I used to think soccer players and tennis players were the best looking. Holy shit. Every one of those drivers is gorgeous.
Right. Oh, my God. I know.
Oh, my God.
A lot of them. Right. And they're all in impeccable shape because they have to be so strong to sit in that little car.
Yeah,
and,
like 4% body mass.
Body fat.
Body fat. Yeah. Typical. One of the reasons it's a perfect sport, that's my position. It lasts 2 hours, so you don't kill a whole afternoon. Mm-hmm. There are only 20 participants, so you don't have to learn the names and histories of, you know, a thousand different mm-hmm. players.
That's true.
Right.
So it's a kind of a perfect modern sport. You can absorb everything about it, and like everything else, you can go as deep as you want, or you can just, you know, glaze across the surface.
Well, I mean, honestly, there were so many things that I learned that was really interesting, because my son and my brother are very into it, you know. And Luis said to me, because I was asking him about it, and he said he didn't watch it because it's not for real fans, you know, it's for people like me who don't really know anything about it, but it was so interesting. And, you know, like the money involved and like those F1 mm-hmm. teams, like some of them have like more than 1,000 people on the team, you know?
Right.
And I feel like I heard like $500 million bandied about, like, that one team mm-hmm. could mm-hmm. spend. And although now, is it true though, Wally, that I heard they have like a cap?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which makes sense to me. I mean, really.
It was just getting completely out of control. The rumors were that Toyota came in at one point, and Mercedes, they were spending almost $1 billion a year.
Can you imagine?
To build two cars.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's crazy.
Imagine if you're a driver and you're 22 years old and you get in one of those cars and you've got $1 billion on your shoulder and 1,000 people looking at you.
Really?
You better not make any mistakes.
No, but that's what's cool about it. They don't give a shit. They just want to drive as fast as they freaking can.
That's true.
Like, I don't think that has changed, you know? That's all they want to do is drive really fast. It's like, you know,
it's all about speed.
It's like Ricky Bobby.
They're completely obsessed.
I want to go fast.
More than maybe most other sports, because if you're not in a go-kart when you're four, you're not going in. And it's common for 14-year-olds, like from the U.S., to go to Europe alone, try to get break in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's in that episode we watched, when they showed that Perez said it was unusual for a Mexican driver to make it into Formula One, and how he went over, I think you said, he was 14 years old.
Right.
And drove.
He's
and
very cute.
Won.
For sure.
It's very cute.
Super cute.
It's like a compressed warfare, because another reason that makes it a perfect sport is that it's not just people running around a track. It's an entire everything, from sourcing materials to designing and engineering. And it's all at the very highest level of technology.
But here's the most important thing. Bailey, who's your cutest guy?
Oh.
Who is your cutest?
I don't know. There were so many.
I don't know. Charles Leclerc.
Oh, I know. He was pretty dreamy. Very dreamy.
Very dreamy.
That's the one everyone mentions.
Oh, is it? Is he the one?
Yeah, he's the one that everybody brings up. What's Belle? Kristen Belle?
Uh-huh.
She and her husband were at a race. She was on Ellen, put up pictures of him, and she was...
she was sliding off her chair.
Right.
But you know what I thought was interesting is that so many of them had their wedding bands on.
So cute.
And it's all I got sort of fixated on that, like how many of the drivers were wearing wedding
bands.
They
all
are. A lot. And I'm sure they were probably all fooling around too. But I mean, there a lot of them are married.
How could they not be?
Yeah.
How could they not be? Like, they're going all over the world.
Right.
There's just, I think the groupie situation there has got to be, you know. It's like Led Zeppelin, right?
Right. All those ladies in stiletto heels,
yeah.
And in the pits.
Any sport, bass fishing, you can go as deep as you want to go.
It's true.
You know, you can spend your life thinking about nylon.
It's true. It's true.
Like
there's groupies. But there's groupies at bass fishing.
People wanted to hook up.
That's good, Bailey. Good one.
Some of them don't make money.
The Formula One people?
Formula One drivers.
Really? Right. I thought they all made at least like $1 million a year.
Well, they might have it in their contract that they get a certain amount, but
when they win or when they place in a certain race,
their paid drivers come in and they have to bring sponsorship with them.
Oh,
you know, when they go to Europe when they're 14 and they start driving go-karts and then they have success and they, it can't be done without sponsors. Unlike you can't just go to college and then be really good and get picked out. You've got to not only be extremely good, you've got to bring money. Hmm. So Lewis Hamilton makes, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, but other guys and rookies and stuff are not making anything.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
The cost cap now is $140 million. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to stop things like Verstappen, but it hasn't.
No, so what far. Do you? What does that mean? Like, what's the deal with him?
He's an extraordinary,
yeah,
you know, once in a generation person. But the Red Bull car is...
The car, yeah.
And nobody knows. You know, even
the
funny thing about motorsports is when they'll have tremendous success and then they'll fall into a trough and not be successful at all. And nobody can ever figure out why.
Yeah.
There's a chemistry that goes on. That...
How about the people in the pit crew? They kind of fascinate me, how many there are, and what do you think they get paid to be a part of that? I mean, that's a huge commitment.
It's a huge commitment, and a lot of them don't survive the travel and because they're not in the private jets. They're flying commercial from Singapore to London and back. And they're well paid, but they're doing it because they love it. And they're in the same situation when they're... You know, 10, they see it on TV, and that's what I want to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just...
Except the one guy that put the wrong tire on.
I know.
That episode that I watched.
I know. And then...
He's like slinking back into the shadows.
There was the one with the one with the wrong tire, and then there was the one that didn't really tighten it enough or something. And he's like, when they came down, I could see it wasn't tight. I'm like, what the fuck? I cannot believe the speed of the pit stops,
I know.
Though. I mean, that's something I knew about a long time ago.
It's amazing.
I don't even know how they...
It's like seconds.
Literally a second and a half, right?
People have done... They've done 2.2.
And that's replacing four tires.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I also... It's super interesting to just hear the comments in the radio, too, you know? That was...
Yeah, the back and forth between them.
Yeah.
They sound so calm.
Yeah, I mean... I have to say, like, the drivers, they really are impressive, though. Like, the focus you have to have and how physical it is and, you know.
There's one scene where the cars are right next to each other. I mean, their tires are almost touching. And I just had to close my eyes because, like, you said, like that, it could be all over.
Just, I guess I really liked it because it was, you know, it just gave me a lot more information and confirmed, like, maybe some of the things that appeared to be true. And they are true, you know.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, just about any sport, I guess, when you really learn about it
in depth,
it becomes really interesting.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
the thing that scares me about the Brad Pitt movie
is
that it's the same people that the writer and director of Top Gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So. Okay. That just, Top Gun was the worst thing in my estimation. And I know the whole world loved it, but I know they're going to disappoint me.
I didn't see either one. I never had any interest at all.
No, it was so dumb.
Yeah, I'm sure. It looked like it was.
Well, the first one was like a soap opera, and the second one was just a regurgitation of that soap opera. You know, how many years later? It was the same, wasn't very creative at all.
They have to bring in the older guy, the older veteran, to do the
thing.
Yeah. Well, I saw Asteroid City.
Oh, yeah, you did. That's right.
Disappointing.
Yeah, you said that.
It just didn't hang together. And I think part of the reason is I don't think Jason Schwartzman and Scarlett Johansson, I don't think that they're either of them are great actors. And I think that was a big part of it, you know, because... Like, even, like, if you look at Rushmore, right, you had, like, really good actors surrounding Jason Schwartzman. And, like, Bill Murray was there and, you know, everyone else. And so, and Jason Schwartzman was young then. So maybe, like, his lack of acting talent didn't hurt him so much. I don't know. But I just felt like he and Scarlett Johansson just didn't make it. And it was, it was gorgeous, gorgeous. But...
Yeah, they're always gorgeous.
Yeah, but it just did not. I would say it was almost my least favorite one of all of them.
There's so much hype around it too. Much hype. And I just, it's, for me, it's hard to go see a movie when there's been so much hype, well, and then I really end up being kind of disappointed.
And Manola Dargis, who is my, Bible at the New York Times. She loved it.
Your crush.
She loved it. She's my girl crush. What would be the female version of bromance? How come there's not a female version of bromance?
Because it doesn't rhyme with row.
Is it just BFF? I don't know. But anyway, she loved it. And so I had expectations, and it just, I don't know. There was one scene, though, where this kid sings this song, and that was hysterical. But he was a totally minor character, but that was...
brilliant.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just didn't hold together.
When you look at the trailer and it's just, his perfect compositions and people looking at the camera and talking, you go like, I don't know how much of that you can really handle.
It's funny because I never, that's never what it has attracted me to his movies. It's more just the interplay of, for me, he's almost like Robert Altman, how Robert Altman would have like 25 people and they'd all be, and I feel like he does something really similar. Mm-hmm. And, the good lookiness of it is just icing on the cake.
It's icing. Yeah.
Which is not always true for me with other movies. Sometimes like the visual part of it, that's all I really care about. But my favorite is Royal Tenenbaums, right? And there you have like Gene Hackman and,
Great cast. Yeah.
Amazing cast. And it really, had like some, it's Budapest Hotel, that one, and Rushmore too. I mean, those all had like real feelings in them. Yeah. And this just was.
Yeah, I like all his movies and somehow this one didn't.
Yeah, it's like meta on top of meta on top of meta. And it was just too much meta, So it just didn't make it for
me. Did you see it, Walt?
No.
It's worth seeing. It's worth seeing. And it's worth seeing on a big screen.
Has his quirkiness in his earlier movies just become too overthought or something, or he tries too hard to make it quirky?
I don't know. Well, The French Dispatch didn't really hang together all that well either, although I liked it more than this.
Well, Anderson has himself in a box, right? I mean, what can he do now? What he has to be, people expect that look and that.
Yep.
The pastels.
It'd be good if he went back to something like Bottle Rocket, right? Where that was just, so quirky.
Break loose on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kermode said Mission Impossible. Wonderful.
The new one?
Really?
He said, forget the MacGuffins and the, this thing that they need the key, half the key to fit the other thing. He said, forget all that. The action sequences are truly exciting.
Oh, I can't wait.
I thought that was going to be another regurgitation, but no, huh?
Well, there again, it's like all this has been done 1,000 times before. How can it be?
Right.
But he said the car chase down the Spanish Steps and the train. Everybody's done a train thing. Everybody's done a car through the city thing. But somehow, he said, it's brilliantly executed.
I can't wait for the set piece where Tom Cruise is on the top of like a mile high building, because that's the thing in every movie where I pee my pants.
Which one was that where he was
everyone
on the building?
Everyone.
Yeah, he's always
like a mile above the earth, hanging by dental floss.
World's tallest building, and he was crawling around.
Burj Khalifa, right? Yeah.
There was a bunch of them in the room there, like up on the 100 millionth floor.
Yeah.
And the window blew out or something.
Right, right.
And I did. I think I almost might have peed a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I hate that.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm not a Tom Cruise fan at all, but I love those movies. They're fun.
I just wish he'd stop coloring his hair. Because it looks, the guy's been through a lot, right? He's been through a lot. Right. Shouldn't he have a few gray hairs on his temples?
Let it go.
Yeah, just let it go. It's okay.
Yeah. You know what I liked him most in, was it Collateral, where he was with Jamie Foxx in the car? And that was good.
Good movie.
He was good in that. Yeah.
The big stunt, though, that they've promoted over and over again of the motorcycle up the, off the mountain.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen any trailers.
Yeah, they've done features on that and behind the scenes. Oh. And the only thing about that is I could do that. He drives the motorcycle up the ramp and, he has a parachute on and then he goes off the end and then pulls the parachute. He did it 6 times because he's a perfectionist.
So that wasn't CGI or anything. He really did that.
the whole promotional thing is that he did this, and it was the first day of filming.
He did all of his stunts?
Because they wanted to make sure there could be a second day of filming with Tom Cruise.
Second day of filming.
But he said, you know, right. I think I let go of the bike too early on that second take. Can we do that again? And so he did it six times.
Oh, he's an adrenaline junkie, obviously.
But to me, if you could skydive, and if you could run a bike up a incline, it didn't seem, I didn't get the whole point of how wonderful that was. There was no great skill involved, honestly. I could do that.
I gotta roll. I gotta roll my eyes there.
Maybe
Walt.
For you,
Come
Walt.
On.
Yeah, seriously.
With a support team of 300 people taking care of every detail, I could do that.
Yeah,
I will do that if you want me to do that. I'll do
All
that.
Right, that's your homework for the next for the next
You're
podcast.
On. You can have Cecilia set up the ramp in the backyard.
That would be good.
And the dog will run alongside with a camera on its.
Yeah, the neighbors are like, what the fuck is he doing now? Oh my God.